Whoa, what is that?
I don't know, what is that?
Is that a...
What?
Could that be a...
It's a Bible bomb!
Hey, this is Landon.
This is Philip.
And we are your Bible Bomberman.
Let's drop some bombs!
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody!
Happy Valentine's Day! Just kidding. All right, it is Christmas time!
Yay!
Everybody likes Christmas, except
and
for a lot of people.
The final episode of the year.
Grand finale. And it's our 40th episode.
40th anniversary.
40th anniversary. A couple months ago, we did the Halloween episode, talking about goods and bads, if it was something Christians should do, if it's something we should avoid. You can go back and listen to that. We're not going to rehash all that, but we wanted to do one kind of like that, except about Christmas, because there's a lot of people who say if you don't Christians don't celebrate Halloween, then you shouldn't celebrate Christmas either. Christmas is different. It's a completely different holiday. So let's get into it. What are we supposed to do, or what should our response be to what the world calls Christmas? Because a lot of people have these,
or Xmas.
Questions.
I've heard that.
Or holiday.
Yeah, happy holidays. But what's funny is there's a lot of holidays, but you really know they're just talking about. They just don't want to say Christ.
Yeah. So. They like to say it's because there's a lot of holidays in December. But then why are people calling Christmas trees holiday trees? And no one calls that Hanukkah candle a holiday candle. Like, we all know what you really mean.
So why did Santa Claus have three gardens?
Why did he have three gardens?
Because he wanted to ho, ho, ho. And I did not look that up on Google like 2 minutes ago.
Did you look it up 2 days ago?
Let's just move on to the next one.
All right. So what we're going to talk about first is we want to get into what the origins of the holiday are. So I copied and pasted some things from Britannica.com, which I guess is the new version of the encyclopedia, but not like Wikipedia, but like an actual real encyclopedia.
I have a question before you read this. Is that like a website based in Britain? Because that's what it sounds like.
No, it's, I don't know.
I guess. You think there should be an Americana.com somewhere.
Those big encyclopedia books, but it's online now. Anyways, this is what they say. This is all in quotes. The early Christian community distinguished between the identification of the date of Jesus' birth and the liturgical celebration of that event. I don't know if I said that word right or not. The actual observance of the day of Jesus' birth was long in coming. In particular, during the first two centuries of Christianity, there was strong opposition to recognizing birthdays of martyrs or for that matter, of Jesus. Numerous church fathers offered sarcastic comments about the pagan custom of celebrating birthdays when, in fact, saints and martyrs should be honored on the day of their martyrdom. Their birthdays from the church's perspective. The precise origin of assigning December 25th as the birth date of Jesus is unclear. The New Testament provides no clues in this regard. December 25th was first identified as the date of Jesus' birth by Sextus Julius Africanus, the founder of Africa.
I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm just kidding. That part wasn't in quotes.
No, that part sorry. In 221 and later became the... Oh, stupid. Became the universally accepted date. That was a long time ago. That was not in quotes either, sorry. Back to the quotes. One widespread explanation of the origin of this date is that December 25th was a Christianizing, big words, of the Dies Solis Invictinati, which is the day of birth of the unconquered sun. A popular holiday in the Roman Empire that celebrated the winter solstice, I hope I'm saying these right, as the symbol of the resurgence of the sun, the casting away of winter, and the heralding of the rebirth of spring and summer. Indeed, after December 25th had become widely accepted as the date of Jesus' birth, Christian writers frequently made the connection between the rebirth of the sun and the birth of the S-O-N, sun. One of the difficulties with this view is that it suggests a nonchalant willingness on the part of the Christian church to appropriate a pagan festival when the early church was so intent on distinguishing itself categorically from pagan beliefs and practices. A second view suggests that December 25th became the date of Jesus' birth by a priori reasoning that identified the spring equinox as the date of the creation of the world and the fourth day of creation, when the light was created, as the day of Jesus' conception. December 25th, 9 months later, then became the date of Jesus' birth. For a long time, the celebration of Jesus' birth was observed with in conjunction with his baptism, celebrated January 6th. All right. If you guys want to make fun of me for pronouncing a bunch of words wrong, go ahead. Anyway, so a lot of that is up in the air. A lot of the stuff happened a long time ago. It's hard to say exactly what happened, but it sounds like December 25th was a pagan holiday that the Roman Empire liked to celebrate. And the early, I don't want to say Christians, but people who believed in Jesus were like, hey, we should do our own holiday on that day, but instead of celebrating the sun, we should celebrate the Son of God. And that's how December 25th became known as Christmas. But we also have to understand that this stuff is ancient history. So it's hard to really nail down all the exact stuff.
I've heard that people say that it actually was Christmas before it was some of these other pagan holidays. But it is ancient history, so there's a lot of debate going on among scholars and historians and stuff. It matters to some people, but in my opinion, I don't want to rehash everything in the Halloween episode, but what is Christmas today? What does it mean today?
Yeah. One thing we do know is that the first century church did not do holidays. In fact, I think it's kind of clear that they were trying to not do holidays, because those faithful in the New Testament would not have thought about coming up with a holiday to celebrate the physical birth of Christ. I think the Apostle Paul, if he found out that a church was trying to do that, probably would have warned them against it, because a lot of holidays in that time and culture were associated with either pagan traditions or Jewish festivals, things that they were trying to get away from, because the Jewish festivals had to do with law-keeping and rituals, and I think they were really trying to work hard to get out of the ritualisticness of that kind of things. And at the same time, the Bible doesn't have a huge emphasis on the birth of Christ. It's a great story, and it's the virgin birth is a miracle that we all need to believe in.
Christmas actually is not in the Bible.
It's not.
Just a story that we... The Christmas story is in the Bible, but Christmas, the holiday, is not in the Bible.
Yeah. Jesus is not a baby in a manger anymore. He is a resurrected king. Also, the nativity stories that people have conjured up today are completely different than what the Bible says. Okay, not completely different, but there's a lot of differences. For example, the wise men did not come when Jesus was born, and they were not at the manger scene.
I saw a picture on Facebook today that had Yoda sitting next to the manger.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You saw that? Yeah.
It was like, my mom hasn't noticed
yet.
Yeah,
yeah. My mom hasn't noticed yet.
No.
Yoda was not there.
If the wise men came with frankincense, gold, and myrrh at the manger scene, do you really think Mary and Joseph would have gotten away with offering two turtle doves 8 days later when they had the expenses to offer a better sacrifice? I don't think so. And it says that the wise men entered the house. So they were a little bit later. But at the same time, that isn't really a huge deal to have that misconception. No. It's not really life and death, like Acts 2:38 or something.
And plus,
something
if you
like
think
that.
About it, the wise men were giving gifts because Jesus was born anyway. So in a way, they still were his birthday gifts.
And the wise men bowed down and worshipped Jesus, not Mary. Yep.
Good
when
point.
When they saw him. And in my opinion, the frankincense, gold, and myrrh is what paid for their trip to Egypt and back. You know, God had that. Just they were poor. They offered two turtle doves. That was the poor people offering for the when you offer your eight day old firstborn. If you didn't have anything else, so God used them to provide. Also, I think most of us know this, but I think there's some people who don't. That there the Bible mentions no drummer boy.
What? There was no drummer boy
of any kind. I can't imagine Mary.
Yeah, she would be so.
Mary's reaction when someone comes. She just put the baby to sleep, and someone wants to give him a drum solo.
He's just like,
that's just rude.
Yeah, she would be like,
shut up! I just put the baby to sleep. I mean, A Silent Night. I like that song. It's a very Christmassy song, but really, in reality, it was probably a really noisy night. I mean, I've had kids. You don't get a silent night for a long time.
Maybe for a few minutes it was silent.
Jesus came in the flesh and was made just like you and me. He was a baby and just as much a baby as any other baby. He had just as much crying, just as much wanting milk, wanting attention, wanting mommy. And of course, if you think that babies are sinners, you're going to have a problem with that. But they're not. Jesus was completely flesh. That to me is amazing and worth having a little celebration about. Where were we? Go back to Colossians 2, 16 and 17.
All right. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food and drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ.
So in that day and age, the Judaizers were trying to pressure the Christians to show up for festivals and do the Sabbath, and do those rituals, and what Paul is saying is that those things were just shadows. So I think it's important to know that those under the new covenant are not required to have any festivals or holidays. So you do not have to celebrate Christmas if you don't want to.
Nothing.
You don't have to do it. It does not affect your salvation whether or not you celebrate Christmas or not.
There actually is a good community of Christians who do still celebrate Hanukkah. I think it's partly because it's John 10, Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Festival of Lights / Hanukkah. But I maybe we can do this an episode on this sometime in the future. I don't know when. But I don't want to add to scripture. It doesn't say Jesus was celebrating. So I wouldn't jump to that conclusion. But but I just want to throw that out there, like, there is a good amount of Christians.
But he was in the middle of that festival.
Yeah.
But he did it too. He used it as an opportunity to preach. Where was I? The Catholic Church and many Protestant churches treat Christmas as if it's some sacred day that's ordained by God, as if it's something like a requirement. And it's really not. For the Christian, every day is sacred and holy. So Advent season, just say Lent season, that stuff is dangerous because it's putting burdens.
Advent season?
Yeah, so that's what Catholics do during Christmas time.
Oh.
They're not as strict.
I'm uneducated.
I don't think they're as strict about that as they are about Lent, but.
Lent?
Lent. Okay. Do you not know about that?
No.
Wow.
I do not.
Anyways.
I told you I'm uneducated.
It's very burdensome.
I grew up in a cave.
That's what those festivals do, is that they place unnecessary burdens on you because you're trying to do it in order to please God, and that's a works-based system. So if Christmas becomes a work-based thing that you have to do in order to please God, then that's not a good thing. So we don't have to celebrate Christmas, but the question is, can we if we want to?
Or should we?
Mm-hmm. Read Titus 1:15.
To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled.
All right. So, to the pure, who are the pure? That would be Christians. Those who have their sins forgiven, clean consciences, those who are not guilty anymore. You are pure. So, what are your motives for taking some time to celebrate the birth of Christ? And this is the answer to, or the question for everything. if you remember our episode about entertainment, we talked about what are your motives for enjoying some entertainment. Is it to help you be more righteous, or is it to do what you want to do? What are your motives for celebrating Christmas? For celebrating particularly the birth of Christ? Because it might be a good opportunity to talk to someone about Christ. Is it because you love God and want to focus for a bit on Christ a little bit more? That he came to us in the flesh? I think those are all pure motives. What if it's because your conscience is bothering you and you think celebrating Christmas will help you have a good standing with God? Now, that's not a pure motive. If your conscience is bothering you, you need to go back to basic gospel 101 and get that figured out.
And you don't have to celebrate it again.
Yeah. So a pure Christian with strong faith can partake in a celebration of the Lord's birth with a clean conscience, even though God never asked him to do it. And even though some of the origins are sketchy, because he's doing it simply because he loves God. And that's what Christianity is. There bothers me when people say that we can't celebrate Christmas because Jesus didn't ask us to do it. You know, it's not authorized. When people talk about what's authorized and what's not. They always go to the Nadab and Abihu.
What?
Nadab Abihu story in Leviticus, where they offered strange fire and God zapped them and they died.
Zap.
Well, that was different. That was them deliberately disobeying God.
They believed in Santa Claus. I'm just kidding.
Oh, dear. All right, so this is what I call a minimalistic Christianity. It's, what's the least that I can do for Jesus? And that's where this mindset comes from. If you are, we can only do what God has authorized. God only accepts what he's commanded, or God only receives what he's commanded.
Yeah, that's almost like another whole nother episode we could do.
I think we did a little bit in our episode about legalism. You should definitely go back and listen to that, because we cover a lot about that. So it's this mindset, we can't do anything religious if the Bible doesn't authorize it. So if the Bible says that tithing is only 10%, we can't give anything more, because that would be sinning, right?
But no.
If I get 15% of my paycheck, God's not going to receive it.
It's not authorized.
It's not. It's strange fire, where Nahab and Abihu. That's not how the new covenant works. The new covenant is about going above and beyond. See, the law and rules of the Old Testament were for childish Israel, because Israel was like a child. The new covenant is for adults. That's why it says that we were under a tutor until Christ came. God is not going to hold your hand and set a bedtime for you and give you a list of rules for you to keep. He expects us to be big boys and big girls and to make our own decisions. We don't have to ask him the permission to do every little thing. But let's go to Galatians 5, 13 and 14.
For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. First thing that pops into my head when you apply this to Christmas is like work Christmas parties where people are getting drunk or participating in some immoral activities. You're like, well, it's Christmas, so
yeah, it's Christmas,
and so I can go join in these activities.
I was at a pretty immoral Christmas party last night. We kept stealing each other's presents.
I've done that before.
People kept stealing from me, but I kept stealing back from them. No, that was actually
Repent.
Pretty fun. It was consensual stealing. It's just like you have to sign a waiver. No.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so back to this Galatians passage. This really is the answer. And it really bothers me how so many Christians do not understand the freedom that we have in Christ. Now, we're not talking about freedom to sin, obviously. And this is Galatians 5, where it goes to talk about the deeds of the flesh and how those who practice those things aren't going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. But then it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So if you don't understand that you have a freedom, then how is the fruit of the Spirit going to be produced in you? It's all in the same context. It's not talking about you're free to go sin. It says, do not use your freedom to as an opportunity for the flesh. Now, can Christmas be an opportunity for the flesh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it can. But it could also be an opportunity to serve and love one another. And it depends on each individual person.
Yeah, it really does.
So you can't judge me because I celebrate Christmas, and I can't judge you because you don't. Okay, I'm not going to judge anyone's motives. All right. What about secular traditions?
This is probably the part that... Well, not probably. This is the part that I wanted to get to.
Yeah, this is the fun part. It really bothers me. There's a lot of Christians who think you cannot celebrate the birth of Christ because the Bible doesn't say so, but think it's okay to celebrate Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah. By the way, how do we know that Santa Claus is real? Because we can feel his presence. Wow.
Okay. Some people think it's sinful to have a nativity set, but love to decorate their house like the North Pole. Now, what's actually going on here that you don't want to talk about is that you are replacing Jesus with a fictional character.
I don't know about that.
No. But what I mean is that when I say replace, what I mean is you're taking the focus off of Christ and you're focusing rather on a fictional character. Because if you're like, nope, if you can't have any Jesus, no Jesus decorations. I mean, I'm not a fan of Jesus art, of having paintings of Jesus. I don't do that. But as a baby, I mean, a baby's a baby. We can't do any Jesus things, but we're going to really focus on Santa Claus and Rudolph and Frosty. And then what happens is that your kids fall in love with those guys, but whereas your kids should be falling more in love with Jesus. Now, kind of sounds like idolatry to me. If celebrating the birth of Christ bothers your conscience, fine. But like I said, if your children are going to notice when you take the focus off of Christ and put the focus on a fake, and then your priorities become their priorities. And that is a true fact. The priorities of children always become the priorities of the parents always become the priorities of their children. At least for a long time. Sometimes kids grow out of that, but...
Yeah, I think... one of the main symbols of Christmas is nativity set, but also Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is the icon.
Which one is going to pop into your head first when you say the word Christmas?
Secular traditions such as giving gifts go back the long way. Now, just say the wise man gave gifts. That was the, I don't know. But by the 1800s, many Christmas carols became secular. St. Nicholas became Santa Claus. Nicholas wasn't even a real saint by Bible standards.
There's a lot of weird stories about him.
But he was a religious figure for a long time. It was hard for me to find out exactly when the transition came from him being a religious figure to a non-religious figure. But I want to say around the 1800s is when Santa Claus had nothing to do with religion anymore. But how far should we go in adopting these traditions? Remember, we're free not to serve the flesh, but to... love and serve one another. So
I don't even know if I'm going to have a different answer than you or not, but
we have to ask once again, well, what is profitable? Is giving gifts profitable?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it could be. When you're thinking of others, you want to do something nice. I mean, when a friend or a family member doesn't have something that they would like or that they need, and you lovingly want to give that to someone, I mean, yeah. it's a great thing. What about a getting?
That's great too.
If you give, someone's gonna get. I mean, when you give, the person you're giving to gets.
If someone gives you something, you're just like, no, that's gonna be really destructive to to the other person.
Yeah, if you give someone a M&M CD,
you might as
that's
well
not profitable.
Like, thank you, but I don't really listen to this kind. I'm going to sell it on eBay. Get rich.
Sell it on eBay.
And get like $5.
Oh, my goodness. But then, that's not profitable for that person buying it on eBay.
Well, last year you got me a Barbara Bush book.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But that was a Dirty Santa gift for a game that I couldn't end up going to, or I couldn't end up going to that a party, so I gave it to Philip instead. All right. One of the horrible ways that Satan has used Christmas is that he turned it into a big commercial freak show. I mean, stores start putting up Christmas trees in August. Pay attention to the commercials you see or hear during Christmas time. It's shoving materialism in your face. It's all about, you can have this, you can have that. And they try and make it sound nice. Like your girlfriend wants this. Buy this for your mother. Your loved ones want when in reality, they really know they're trying to sell it to you. Yeah, you want this. Materialism is not a good thing, obviously, because materialism becomes, I mean, there's parables about it. The rich guy who stores all of his stuff, and then God says, this night your life is required of you. People like to store treasures on earth instead of on heaven. And when Christmas becomes about that, then it's no longer profitable. So giving gifts is good, but you do have to think about what kind of gifts you are giving. I like to receive board games and stuff. That's always been...
That's not authorized. The only gifts that are authorized is
frankincense, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Essential oils.
Yeah.
No.
That's all you can get.
If you're giving your kids things that are going to spoil them, things that are going to... I'm just going to say it. The video game systems, cell phones, when they're like 7 years old, is that really profitable? You have to answer for yourself. I'm not going to answer for you. But I think the gift giving session should be more humble than just giving everyone super expensive gifts.
That's the hardest part about Christmas is keeping the focus where, and mostly for young people, I think older people, that's why adults are harder to shop for than kids, because we mostly have what we want, except for really expensive stuff that nobody can afford. But like, it's hard to keep the balance of helping our, I say our kids, but I don't have kids just yet, but like helping kids keep their focused on what the holiday is really about and not just about the gifts. Adults, it's a lot easier to do that, to keep the focus where it should be, but we really need to be careful how we portray the holiday to our kids.
Yeah, and get them things that are not gonna, I mean, that they can actually use, things that are appropriate, things that might promote family spending more time together instead of going into their rooms and playing on something by themselves. Get them a new sled. Never mind.
We don't have so much snow
BB
here.
BB gun. Something that can use. No, it depends on where you live. Okay, I was halfway kidding about the BB gun.
Yeah, that's pretty
but,
cool.
If your kid's old enough, anyways, yeah, do it. I dare you. All right, so don't make Christmas revolve around gifts. I always think it's really funny how a lot of rich millionaires like to come out with songs like, all I want for Christmas is you. Like, you already have, well, of course, I mean, you already have a bunch of stuff, so I don't know. All right, so teach your kids how to give rather than asking them what they want. I have not been asking Samuel what he wants. I've been asking him what he wants to give to other people. And he gives me ridiculous answers. But he's 5, so he's like, I want to give him that thing on the wall, or I don't know. But he's just being cute. But yeah, I definitely want to take him to the store to help him shop for others. Yeah. But I'm not asking him what he wants.
Also reminding them of the symbolism, like the wise men giving the gifts to Jesus. This is why we do gifts. If that didn't happen, then I don't know. Maybe we would toss gift giving out of Christmas. I have no idea. But
well, yeah, there's but
the symbolism is there to be a good reminder of what the holiday really is about. And like a star on the top of the tree. There's lots of little things like that that help direct a lot of the traditions towards what the holiday really is about.
Yeah.
That I think is important for people to know.
And Jesus himself is the best gift of all.
All I want for Christmas is Jesus.
I do enjoy giving gifts at Christmas time, but once again, if you get sucked into this materialistic mindset, you're gonna end up more depressed. Your family will be torn apart. It's just it's gonna be more depressing because you're focusing on stuff. All right, so what about listening to secular Christmas music? Does Jingle Bells or Most Wonderful Time of the Year make you think about lying, stealing, or sexual immorality, taxation?
No.
No, not really. A lot of Christmas songs are fun and harmless. Okay, what about Baby, It's Cold Outside?
It's my favorite. I'm just kidding.
I know sometimes it's kind of funny when... It's kind of fun when you're singing that to your wife, but...
that's about it.
But the song is not about a married couple. It's about a naughty boy tempting a naughty girl to not go home.
Well, it depends on who sings it. I've heard married couples sing it to each other.
Yeah, they are. They do, but... She's trying to get out, and he's like the devil. He's trying to tempt her. Have another drink, have another smoke, and she keeps giving into it. It's just
That sounds like a realistic situation, though.
It does.
Playboys, watch out.
What about, let's see, Last Christmas? Does the song that is just about a whiny boy who thinks didn't work out last Christmas, and it's just a bunch of worldly drama. No, okay, all that stuff is on you. You got to figure that out. You got to figure that stuff out for yourself. What Christmas song? There are some Christmas songs, just like any secular song. There's some songs that are fun and innocent, like, and some
jingle
songs.
Jingle bell.
Yeah, and some songs that will put unrighteous themes into your head. You got to figure that out for yourself. Okay, what about Santa Claus? Okay, I don't have any problem with my children enjoying fictional characters. I mean, my kids, or Samuel had a Super Mario Brothers themed birthday party. He likes the character.
You're kidding.
He likes the character of Super Mario, but he doesn't believe that he exists. That would be a bit of a problem. So what I'm not going to do...
He's not writing letters to Mario?
No. What I'm not going to do is tell my kids that someone is real when he isn't. Santa Claus is not real.
We should have said kid warning.
Well, yeah. I want kids to hear this.
Wow. You're the Grinch.
I'm the Grinch.
But yeah, I agree. I do not like that either.
Okay. Weird. Now, you can't prove that he doesn't exist because you can't prove a negative. You can't prove that something doesn't exist. But there's not a shred of evidence that Santa Claus is real. There's a little bit of evidence that there was someone named Nicholas, that they declared him a saint after he died. But a lot of his legends, a lot of his stories aren't real either. So that he for centuries gave gifts to presents. I mean, nobody lives that long unless you're before the flood.
Well, growing up, my parents never... they told us he was fake from the beginning, and... You know what I thought as a kid? I was like, man, I'm so glad they told me that, because I don't want to be with among my peers just talking about Santa Claus who's not even real. So yeah. I don't think your kids will be missing that much.
The main reason why telling your kids Santa Claus isn't real is not good is because, well, read Colossians 3:9.
Do not lie to one another, since you stripped off the old self with its evil practices.
Okay, lying to... Do not lie to one another. Now, do your children count as one another?
Yeah, yes.
When does someone become one another? Is lying an evil practice?
Yes.
If there is
but
someone...
But it's not a lie. It's just for fun.
Yeah,
it's a lie.
If there is someone... Now, you can try and rationalize this all you want. And if you're feeling angry right now, that's because you know that we're right. it's because your conscience is being pricked. And you're trying to come up with some irrational way to say it's not a lie. Don't do that, okay? It's lying. Revelation chapter 21 says that all liars are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, Satan is the father of lies. When someone lies, they are speaking Satan's language. That's exactly what you do when you tell your kids, Santa Claus is coming tonight, you better go to bed. You're speaking Satan's language. And you can't prove that to us that you're not. We're talking about what the scripture says. So there is no more essential person that you should be honest with than your children. Because kids believe everything they hear. They're programmed to. And when you tell them lies like the moon is made of cheese... It always bothers me when even stuff like that, or that Santa Claus and Easter Bunny are real, or that the gingerbread man escaped, or that Mickey Mouse at Disneyland is real. Why do people think it's cute when children are deceived? I don't think it's sad. I think that's heartbreaking.
I mean, I told, as a big brother, I told lots of lies to my little brothers that they believed, but I mean, I was a kid too.
How dare you, Satanist.
But yeah, that's not cute. In my opinion, I don't get it.
Our older brother did that to us.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big brother's job is to do that, but.
But he doesn't know any. I mean, he does. He does know better, but
kind of.
Anyways, we have to teach our kids when they are very, very young that there is truth and that there is falsehood, that 1 + 1 = 2. So that when they grow up, they can look at the evidence of Jesus objectively and know that the gospel is real. If they grow up believing in fairy tales, you are setting them up for what is an emotional-based religion, where they just believe something because it makes them feel good, because they want to believe it, because they like it. Santa Claus is very real to young kids who believe in him. Like, he is, when children say they believe in him, they really, really, really believe in him.
Yep.
And they're being programmed from a very young age to believe in what feels real without any proof or evidence. They're being programmed to have blind faith their entire lives because they had blind faith when they were kids. I mean, I'm not saying that kids shouldn't have an imagination or pretend or play.
Yeah, trust me, that's not going to ruin their imagination.
I have no problem showing my kids Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or anything like that. I do have a problem with deceiving him. Our job as parents is to get them the right programming. Think of your kids like computers, okay?
That's dehumanizing.
But seriously, God made our brain just like a computer. We are programmed from the day that we are born, even before that, actually. It's our job to set them up for what's right and what's wrong. And part of the reason why this world is so postmodern is because people are trained to be postmodern and post-truth when they're children.
Yeah.
Part of that is Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, all that stuff.
Which is a good debate. I've heard, I don't know if I'm throwing you off or not, but I've heard a debate of which is the better holiday, Christmas or Easter? And this might sound crazy, but I think Christmas is my favorite holiday mostly because of the traditions, because they're celebrating similar things. But I know that some people are like, well, no, Easter is when we celebrate when Jesus died for our sins. But that could have never happened without Christmas. So they're on an equal tier because Christmas was necessary. Christmas story was necessary.
I have more problems with Easter because the Easter secular traditions are based off of literal pagan traditions like Easter Bunny. Even the name Easter itself is named after a pagan goddess of fertility. But the thing about that, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel, and we are always focused on that. So when it comes to what we call Easter or Resurrection Day, it's not like it's anything new, but we're not always focused on the birth of Christ. So when it comes to Christmas, it's like kind of getting back into that vibe of here's when Jesus was born. But the Easter story or the resurrection story, that's something that we're always thinking about. So yeah, I don't know.
It is kind of funny. Actually, Easter and Christmas have a lot in common because secular Christmas is Santa Claus, and then Christian Christmas is nativity scene, and then Christian Easter is the cross, and then secular Easter is the Easter Bunny. So yeah. Easter Bunny and Santa Claus are almost in the same league. I say almost because Easter Bunny, I would say, is a tier below Santa Claus. But
yeah, the Easter Bunny is ridiculous.
Yeah, because at least Santa Claus is based roughly on a real person. But I'm just going to come out right out and say it. I love Christmas traditions, even ones that have nothing to do with Christ, because
I like putting
they're
up
fun.
Christmas tree and lights.
Like, yeah,
and
I was
going to
say, like, Christmas lights, those aren't, I don't even know how you would relate that to the Bible. Christmas story, but inflatable snowman, like stuff like that. I'm like, they're fun. Well, I like it.
Christmas lights always remind me of when it gets really dark and the lights shine brighter. It reminds me of when this world gets dark, how Christians are supposed to shine.
I actually heard that the best going theory for where Christmas trees originated from is Martin Luther King.
No, the
the guy in Germany. Anyways,
not King.
Martin Luther. Anyways,
yeah, just Martin. Luther.
Yeah, Martin Luther. There's too many Martin Luthers in this world. He was walking through the forest one night and he saw the stars shining through the trees, and that's what gave him the first idea of putting lights around the Christmas tree.
Oh dear.
So that's the best theory that I've heard about that. But for me, it's just a Christmas tree, and it represents Christmas, and Christmas represents the birth of our Savior. So
yeah, to wrap this all up, under the new covenant, we have freedom to serve each other, and if you use Christmas to serve one another, to help with the gospel, to be a light, then it can be a very good thing. And if you just don't want to, then you don't have to. But whatever you do, don't judge somebody else by what they do. don't assume somebody else's motives. That's true. That's not allowed.
The only thing is, like we mentioned earlier, some secular Christmas parties got people underdressing and drinking and stuff like that. But that's not what we're talking
it's
about.
It's too cold to underdress.
Well, people do it anyway at some Christmas parties, that's what I've seen.
Stay away from those.
But, yeah. So if you have some question that you want to ask us, then go ahead and leave it in the comments on our Facebook page, Bible Bomb. And
if you want to have a reasonable debate, then we can do that too.
Yep.
If we act like adults.
Yep.
All right.
That's always good. So next time, by the way,
Merry Christmas.
Oh yeah, Merry Christmas. Because this is right before Christmas. Next year, we're going to upload our next episode.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 7. What is it talking about? When Paul asked, or when he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Was he talking, because he's talking in the present tense. So was he saying that's how he was now, or was he talking about before he was a Christian?
Irresistible sin, maybe?
All right.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that next year. Until then,
see you guys.
We'll see you guys.